It is a blessing. And our pastors, they have an anointing on them. And it's precious. And so I'm so thankful that they are there. So please lift them up. Pray for them. Pray for utterance. Pray for strength. Pray for the blessing of the Lord. Amen. That's what truly makes rich. So I know that they're doing lots of wonderful things. And again, praise God. Let's just hold them up. So we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. And I know that we've been teaching on the subject of healing. And so tonight, what I want to talk to you about is healing the heart. Healing the heart. Amen. Good pastoral message. That's my area, pastoral care, and it just seems that it comes up on the inside of me. So such as I have, I give to you. Have you ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? You know, food is how we fuel our bodies. And how we fuel our bodies affects how well and how long they're going to perform. Isn't that right? Have you ever noticed that when you make healthy choices, that your body is energized? And it goes a lot farther. It has a lot of strength in it. I know last time Pastor Tom was up, he was in his office. He happened to be here preparing part of his message. And I went in. I said, can I get you anything to eat? He goes, I got my green drink. So today I got my green drink out, Pastor Tom. And I thought I'm going to add a little blueberries to my green drink. So I added a little blueberries to my green drink and I drank it up and my mouth was blue. I said, oh no. Praise God. But anyhow, we drink green drinks every day and they're really good for you. But praise God, you know, when you make unhealthy choices in food, it affects your cholesterol. It affects your weight. It affects your blood pressure. And when you have bad cholesterol, it affects what? It affects your heart. It affects your natural heart. Well, you know, that is spiritually true as well. You are what you eat. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 34 to 36. Are you eating good? That's my question to you. Are you feeding your spiritual man? Is he strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Well, Matthew 12, verses 34 to 36, y'all going to get it up there for us? It says this. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth what? Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, he brings forth evil things. So that tells me something. That tells me that your heart holds treasure. Treasure that you deposit. Isn't that good? Proverbs 4 says that out of your heart, out of that treasure, flows the very forces, the very issues of life. That means the power of God that's working on your behalf, on the behalf of others. Your heart gets fed. It gets fed through your gates, through your eye gates, through your ear gates, through the words of your mouth, through what you've been meditating on, through your self-talk. And, you know, I have a little guide that I think is really good to follow. It goes like this. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Amen? That's a good guide. Our youth follow that guide. It's a good guide. It'll keep you safe. It'll keep you from feeding your heart the wrong thing. Because what you put in you is what is going to come out of you. So if you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you're going to reap life. You're going to reap the goodness of God. But if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh, the word says, you'll reap corruption. So it's really a simple choice. Amen? Just like your natural heart, you know, needs food, your spiritual heart needs food. And if you will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, your heart will feed you faith when you do need it. Feeding your heart plays a major role in healing your heart and keeping it in health. Just like your natural heart suffers injury, your spiritual heart can suffer injury. The Bible calls this the brokenhearted. How many of you have suffered a broken heart? If you've lived very long, I'm sure you have. And you know it's painful. It's difficult. It's one of those seasons of life, you know. We have seasons in our life. We have summer, we have winter, we have spring, and we have fall. One thing that's good to know about seasons is that they change. And if you're in a winter season tonight, know this. Summer and spring's coming. Amen? And you just got to kind of endure through that hard place. The Bible says endure as a good soldier. It's so important to have perseverance on the inside of you. It's so important to let that be the motivating factor that keeps you going. That spirit of faith, that spirit of strength that comes from feeding your heart the word of God. Let's talk for a few minutes tonight about a couple of ways people become brokenhearted. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 42 and verse 5. Psalms 42 and verse 5. It says this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Do you notice there that depression was a result? It was present because there was no hope. And when there's no hope, I'm telling you, it's very difficult to manage this life and its crisis and the things that it brings. Its trials, its tribulations, it's very difficult. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12 says it this way, hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. It's like having a heartache. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. When we lose hope, we become brokenhearted. When Reverend Keith was here, I love the illustration that he gave concerning pastor's office. Because I've walked in there many times myself. When you walk into the first part of it, there's a little conference table. It's the room's just probably big enough to fit that table and just a little bit area around it. And then his office is to the left. And his office is usually dark because you turn on the lights when you first come in to that conference room. And then you turn around, you walk through the conference room, as Reverend Keith had explained, and you walk into that office. And when you step your foot into the office, all of a sudden it almost shocks you. Even though you know it's coming, the light just comes on quickly. There's a sensor in there, and that sensor sees the movement, and it comes on just like that. And what I love so much about that illustration is he talked about how when the light comes on, it's like having a believing moment. A believing moment. When you step towards God, God's going to give you some revelation so that you can have a believing moment. And I tell you what, if you do anything bigger than yourself in this earth, you're going to need to have believing moments. You know, when you take that step and the light comes on, what happens? Darkness is dispelled. When light comes into your spirit, man, when revelation comes into your heart from God, what gets dispelled? Darkness. It flees. Depression flees. When hope or the desire, when it arises, we just read that. When desire comes, when hope comes, it's a tree of life. It's so awesome to have hope in God. Insight gives us light. And when I feel hope departing from my heart, you know, I just kind of go to before God and I say, Lord, help me to see this through your perspective. Give me sight about this situation because you know all about it, Lord. You know everything that surrounds it. I only see it limitedly, but you know all about it, Lord. See, it's sight of another kind. And you know, like if you're playing certain kinds of games like Scrabble or, you know, board games, if you're sitting on this side of the table, you're going to have one perspective. But if you get up and you walk around to the other side and you sit on this side, you're going to have another perspective of the game. That's so important. We need God's perspective. Now, a good question to ask yourself is, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the problem, the situation, or are you focusing on the answer or the delivering hand of God? Another thing would be, are you focusing on what you don't have, or are you focusing on what you do have? Are you focusing on what somebody did or didn't do to you? These are all things that are so important to evaluate when you're walking through that valley of Baca, you know, that valley of weeping where things appear to be hopeless. Sometimes people lose hope because they've been disappointed again and again. Do you know that disappointment is the leading cause for divorce? It's unmet expectations that cause disappointment. And it's not money, sex, or power. It's disappointment. Here's a couple of things that I want to share with you to help you tonight. I want you to take a look at your expectations. Examine them. Are they realistic? For example, if you ask me, hey, can you get up there and play the piano? And then you wait for me to get up there and play the piano? You'd be greatly disappointed. I would love to play the piano. That's always been a desire of my heart. But you know what? It's just not my gifting. So I enjoy their gifting. Amen. Praise God. But it's so important to evaluate those expectations to make sure that what you're expecting from somebody, they can actually give you. They can deliver it. And so have you communicated your expectations? Have you told them? Have you asked for what you wanted and what you need? That's constructive communication. Asking for what you want and what you need. You know, tomorrow is my birthday, praise the Lord. And I got myself a birthday present. I had somebody come over and clean my house. I like my house clean. I've been dealing with some health things and I wasn't able with my arm to do some cleaning like I like to do. And so I had somebody come over and clean my house and oh, it just feels so good. It was such a blessing to myself. I love it. But you know, years ago I would expect certain things at my birthday or at Christmas time, you know. My kids are grown now. They're 33, 35, and 38. But praise the Lord. I remember during Christmas time, I would just be expecting that they knew what I wanted. And I'd go and open my present under the tree and I'd get this great big old boom box. Do you know what it's like getting a boom box and everybody else around you has this beautiful new jewelry? I'm telling you, it's a bummer. And I'd get so upset. But I never asked. I never said, this is what I want. So now I make a list. You choose. I'm so much happier. I'm not disappointed. I don't feel hopeless. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a simple thing, but it really works, folks. Here's another one. Are your expectations God's plan for you? Is it His will for you? Because you could be trying to do something in your own flesh, with the arm of your flesh, and you could just be spinning your wheels. Remember, the blessing of the Lord truly makes rich. It adds no sorrow to it, neither does toiling increase it. Well, when you're working with the arm of your flesh, you're toiling. And it's difficult. And you're limited in what you can do. Yeah, you can do some things, but you're limited. But when you get in the will of God, and you operate in that place, there is a grace that God gives to you. And what you do, and it's just, there's just ease to it. Not that there's not effort, don't misunderstand, but there's an ease to it. There's an anointing, there's a grace to do it. And just let that grace lift and find out, you know, how much God's blessing upon you helps you. Amen? Hallelujah. When people lose hope, they lose their anchor for their soul. The scriptures tell us hope is an anchor for your soul. And what happens when you lose your anchor and you're like, if you're in a boat and you lose the anchor, the boat starts what? It starts drifting. And when you lose your anchor, when you lose your hope, you start drifting. Your mind starts to drift. You start to waver. You start to wonder. You start to reason. You start to doubt, and then you start to fear. Hallelujah. You know what? Jesus is your compass. So when you call on Jesus, He knows just how to get you back in direction. You call on Jesus, and He will gently guide you back to the boat and put you on course. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the help of the Holy Spirit. We need Him every day. Dealing with loss, that's another reason for people to lose hope. Sometimes it's a loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's a loss of a job. And they're trying to find another one. It's been difficult. I know many people in our congregation have faced that these last 2 years. Maybe it's, you know, a situation where you had an expectation again that you expected something to happen. It didn't. This will cause your heart to be broken. And there's a process many times. There's a process of recovery in dealing with loss. And everybody deals with loss differently. And every loss in your life is going to be different. Sometimes it just takes some time to allow yourself to work through it. There's definitely expressions of grief and stages of grief. And one thing I really want to say to you tonight is don't expect somebody else to grieve the way you grieve. And don't put those expectations on them, because it makes it worse. Hallelujah. Just be a support. Just be a heart with ears. Amen. Just come alongside of them and just be present. Sometimes people get stuck in grief. And if you get stuck in grief, you got to get some help. Amen. Again, another thing that causes, you know, hope to depart from us is when you're standing in faith for something for a long time. Have you ever done that? Sure. If you've walked a faith life very long, Abraham, he stood 25 years. Believe in God to be the father of many nations. Of course, we know he got weary in the process and he started to drift and he started to reason and waver and doubt and fear. And so he went to the arm of his flesh. And we know what happened with that situation. Ishmael was born. But you know, here's the other part of the story. Abraham, he got redirected. He got redirected and he planted himself. He planted himself in God and he said, you know, against all natural hope, he believed in a supernatural hope. And the Bible tells us he did not stagger at the promises of God, but he grew strong in faith. How? As he gave glory to God, he changed his focus. And he stopped looking at what he didn't have. And he started looking up from whence his help came. Hallelujah. God redeemed that. So praise the Lord. Be encouraged by that. Turn your eyes back to Jesus. When you've been standing a long time, stand there for. God is not mocked. He's going to deliver in your behalf. And he's going to show you how to get there. Again, on that journey, he'll show you and he'll guide you. And you'll be able to hear his voice and obey it and take the direction that he leads you in the process. Sometimes there's many things that he has to do to work. So just trust him to work. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. I love this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to do what? Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I looked up the word brokenhearted in Strong's. And the Hebrew word had a lot to say about the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the understanding. Some of the other things that it described was inner parts, the midst of things, the midst of man, the heart of man, the soul of man, the mind, the knowledge, the thinking, the reflection, the memory, the will, the conscious, moral character. The seat of appetites, the seat of emotions and passions. That all comes out of he came to heal the brokenhearted. That's who the brokenhearted is. One thing I found interesting then is that in the New Testament, where the Greek word was shown in Luke versus in the Old Testament, the difference was that it was really used, brokenhearted, to enforce Satan's defeat. It said to put Satan underfoot as a conqueror trampled upon him. The same word for brokenhearted. He has already done that for us. Glory to God. Again, like I said, if you need help and you get stuck, get help. You know, sometimes I think about this. If you were on the floor and you were bleeding to death, what would you do? You would call 911. Well, sometimes emotionally, in our hearts, when the hearts are broken, you're on the floor and you're bleeding to death. You got to call. You got to get some help. God has a diversity of ways that he will bring life to you. He'll bring it first and foremost through his Spirit and his Word. But he'll also use many other things. He'll use prayer. He'll use people. He'll use anointed Christian counselors. Amen. He'll use your pastors. So, praise God. Take advantage, because if you don't, you're cutting off the hand of God. You sit there and you suffer. And God doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to live. He wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He wants you to have something so you can give something. He wants you to be blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. How can you be God's hand extended to help other people? Let me ask you that. How can you do that? I know people ask, what could I do to help somebody? How could I make a difference? Many times you can just simply lift somebody's spirit by, again, coming alongside of them, bringing aid, support, assistance. Encouragement is so powerful because it inspires courage. And when you feel like your hope is departed, you don't feel like you have any courage. You need to be encouraged. You can bring a spirit of courage to people. On Monday, my heart was stooping, dealing with many things. And one of which was my car that had broke down. And I was multitasking. I was on one phone holding for somebody, trying to look for a rental car. The guy had called me on the phone about my car, telling me the good news, right? And so anyhow, I had another call coming and I'd let it go. And I finished the conversation with the guy telling me the good news. And what happened was I called the person back, and it was Maria. And Maria's brother just went home to be with Jesus. And she had asked me, can you do his memorial service? And so that's going to be Tuesday here, folks, at 1:30. But anyway, as we were talking, Maria said, well, your car's in the shop. What are you doing? I said, well, I'm actually online right now trying to rent a car. I'm going to rent a car. Use my 3A discount. She goes, oh, no, you're not. I'm coming over and I'm bringing my car. I said, oh, no, you're not. She said, what? Oh, yes, I am. She says, Mario, I can use his car. Don't worry about it. I'm coming over. And I tried to talk her out of this blessing, but she insisted. And here she was on her way over to her brother's house to take care of some things. It was a time when she needed comfort and she needed strength. And what did she do? She reached out to help somebody else. And so here I am at home trying to take care of all these things. It's 3 o'clock. I'm still not dressed. And there's a knock at the door. And I go to the door and there she is. And she goes, here's my keys. There's gas in the gas tank. Keep it as long as you need it. Do you know that what that did for my heart? That's who she is. It's not just because it's me. That's who she is. She is Christ-like. She is a Christian. She cares about people. She helps people. It inspires people. It gives people courage. It's a simple, natural thing that gave me a spiritual impartation. Did you hear me? It's a simple, natural thing that gave me a spiritual impartation. And when I drove to work that next day, Maria, on Tuesday, yesterday, all the way here, I felt so loved. And it brought glory to the Father. Isn't that what we sang about? It brought glory to God. Because it was his love shining through you. And it helped me so much because I didn't have to leave my house. I didn't have to figure out how am I going to get down there to get the rental car. And how much is it going to cost me? Amen? I said, show me where the gas tank is. She goes, oh, no, don't even go there. You're just going to receive. She's telling me that strong spirit that was on her, that strong spirit that was on her, coming out of her, it's contagious. It'll get on you. Amen? So she helped me to be strong at a time when my heart was stooping. I want you to turn with me to Joshua 14 real quickly. Let's see. Oops. Joshua 14, and we're going to look at verse 7. Start at verse 7. Now, this is here talking about some people that we're very familiar with. And that's Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. I want to read a little bit about Caleb. It says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea. How do you say that, Kimberly? Barnea. To spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Keep going. So Moses swore on, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he has said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Keep going. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Yeah, amen. He's 85. Hallelujah. Now, is that it? Keep going. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Do you hear the spirit of faith there? Do you hear that strong, courageous heart? So therefore, give me this mountain. Are you saying that in your heart about some things? Lord, give me that mountain. That's the spirit of faith that we have, that we've received. Glory to God. Caleb was a strong and courageous man, and he was in the mold of Moses and Joshua. He was a younger man. You know when you mold things, like you mold, a statue? It takes on that image. It's molded. You work it. You work it. And he was molded in the image of Moses and Joshua. He had strength in his age because he was strong and courageous in spirit. How did he do that? I want to list some things for you. Some of the things that I saw that he did, because that's what we're talking about, not losing heart, healing our hearts, keeping our hearts strong. How do we heal our hearts? We do these things. First of all, he stayed healthy. He kept serving. He didn't quit. He was faithful. With his whole being, he followed the Lord. He mentored the younger. He lived Romans 12:12. He never lagged in zeal or diligence. He was fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He was joyful in hope. When you're in hope, you got to have joy. Pray, God, you're the God of all hope. Give me hope in believing. Be patient in tribulation. You know, he was patient in tribulation. He went through some things. The other, spies turned against them. Joshua and Caleb were the only two with a good report. And they're the only two that inherited the promises of God. Hallelujah. You've got to practice patience. How do you do that? By trusting God. That's how you do it. By trusting God. Trusting him completely. You can't have patience unless you trust God completely. Unless you surrender all. You got to be steadfast in prayer. That means you got to take your authority. You got to stand. You got to pray over something. You got to watch some things, and you got to pray over some things. Amen. That's what a watchman does. You watch and then you pray as God leads you. He also distributed to the needs of the people. He was a distributor. He was sowing to others. And he was also given to hospitality. If you do those things, if they be found in you, you will not be barren. Amen. This sounds like the virtuous woman found in Proverbs 31. How did she do all she did and keep a good attitude anyway? Well, the picture of this woman, it's meant to inspire women or men. Inspire them and not discourage them. Because if you look at all she did, you could be discouraged. Like, why can't I do that? But see, it's intended to inspire them to be good, devoted wives. It's intended to inspire them to be good mothers, to be managers of wealth. Like, you know, doing the budget. To be a good consumer. She was a good consumer. I know she knew where the bargains were. And I know you do too. She was caring. She was compassionate. She reached out to the poor. She ran her business. Yes, she owned her own business. She was respected by others and especially by those closest to her, her family. She didn't gain the whole world and lose her own family. And so the word virtuous there, I looked that up too. You know what it means? It means able. It means capable. It means strong. It means valiant. Do those words describe you? They can. You are strong in the Lord. You can do all things through Him who strengthens you, who infuses you, who empowers you. Amen? Say, I can do it. All things, everything that comes my way with the help of God. Her secret to being virtuous was that she feared the Lord and she had an intimate relationship with Him. She walked with God. She had a God-given grace again for her race. She came to know Him. We are to come to know Him. We need to know Him for ourselves. So that we can be fully persuaded. We are exhorted in the scriptures to know Him. The word know in those scriptures has the same meaning as the word that's used in Genesis 4:1 that says, and Adam knew his wife and she conceived. You see, it carries a deeper meaning of intimacy. It means becoming one. It means emotional bonding. Passionate excitement, personal fulfillment, genuine nurturing, investing in. That's what your intimate relationship should be like. That's what it should be like with God. Hallelujah. Praise God, this is definitely a part tour. Because I have a whole other part that I'm not going to be able to get to tonight. But I just want to encourage you tonight with the words that have been spoken. I believe by the unction of the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you. You know that God is good. And He is there and He is for you. And His goodness, He wants to show up in your life with it. He wants you to be inspired. He wants you to be that one that's a carrier of the anointing, that's equipped, that's going out and reaching a hurting and lost world that are hopeless. Amen? And so, I want to ask you tonight. Praise the Lord. Do you have a new heart? There might be some of those who are sitting here tonight that maybe have never asked Jesus to come into your heart. And the Bible says that, you know, that means that you have an unrenewed heart, a stony heart, the Bible calls it. And God wants to take that stony heart and He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to heal your heart. That's the true healing of your heart, is when you are born again into the kingdom of God. When you are delivered from the power of Satan and translated into the family of light. If you're here tonight and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, you've never asked Him to come and live on the inside of you and be your Savior and the Lord of your life, If you would just lift up your hand, we want to pray with you tonight. Anybody at all, don't leave this place without receiving Jesus. Don't leave this place without receiving the gift of eternal life. Without receiving what we've been talking about tonight, a healed heart, a whole heart. Anyone at all, you've never received Jesus, but you would like to, please just simply lift your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. What heals the hearts, folks? The love of God. The goodness of God. The hope of God. Hope thou in God, folks. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father, for these this opportunity to come together to receive from you, to receive encouragement and strength, to receive that redirection that we were so asking for, Lord. And so I ask you just to take these words and continue to minister to each one's heart and to bring life, the life of God. I give you praise, Lord, because all the glory goes to you for what you do in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead tonight. Our God by giving him.